you know, the Reed house was expensive.
Right. But you expect it to be.
But you expect it to be. But every hotel I've looked at, down to in that area was that expensive. And I'm looking at him going, you're not the Reed house.
I know. I'm like, I better have people dressed in flapper outfits in a haunted room before I pay that price.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Hasn't been bad, actually. Okay. Except that I almost didn't make it to work on time today.
Oh, what happened?
Well, I pulled out of my driveway and then I got stuck behind the garbage truck. And I couldn't get around. You know, and so they go a few feet, grab a garbage can, chunk it, go a few feet. So I finally get up to Main Street and you think you've got it made, right?
Right.
So I wait, my light's about to turn green, and it did turn green, and I'll be dadgummit if a horse and buggy did not run the red light and get in front of me, and I got stuck behind the horse and buggy.
Did you yell?
I of course I did. All I could think was about Pat Broyles, and I yelled out loud in my car in memory of him, get off my road. Not that I really feel that way, but it's what you do.
It's a family thing. Sure,
got stuck behind a horse and buggy. Oh. I mean, that's just not an everyday
thing.
That
really isn't. The garbage truck is one thing, but I wasn't ready for that. I was not ready. Oh my goodness.
And then I laughed all the way to work because it just was comical.
Because then you felt happy.
I did. Well, I did, but I just thought a horse and buggy ran a red light. They ran the red light.
They weren't stopping. They were like, nope.
They weren't. That horse was it ain't happening.
That reminds me of so much. I think I've said about this before, but it's like there is old man energy in walking and parking lot walking.
Yeah.
Like, if you notice, and it's old woman energy too, but old man energy is a whole nother level. They be walking across a parking lot. They be walking right out of a store on the side and they just go. They go and they don't look. They don't look. It's like they've given up all. They're like, I don't care.
That's right. I told you. I think I've told on here. My granddaddy was backing up one time, and he was driving, and he said, little girl, is there anything coming? And before I could answer him, he said, never mind. I'll stop when I hear the glass break. You know, I mean, that's it. That's just the...
They just walk. They walk. Yeah. They don't look. They don't turn their heads.
Yeah.
They don't acknowledge you. And this happened to me just again last week, and I thought it made me giggle because I'm like, it's a real thing, this old man energy walking. It's like they have no fear.
They're kind of done.
No fear and no awareness of anything around them and no bother. So
that's right.
It made me laugh so hard anyway. Well, good. Well, other than getting stuck behind the horse and buggy, what else have you been up to?
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. It's kind of,
I'm just,
We're all hanging on.
Waiting for summer, you know?
We are.
I brought my calendar up here with me to think, what can I tell today?
Yeah.
I have absolutely nothing.
Nothing.
To tell, except I got stuck behind a horse and buggy that ran
the red light. That's it, guys. That's it. That's the show. We're done.
Y'all, I promise you, that is exciting. That's the most excitement that my life has seen this week.
Wow. Okay. Well,
but speaking of horses, we did have the Kentucky Derby.
We did.
So do we need to get in? Have we gotten into this?
No, we hadn't talked about it. Oh, we forgot to even remind people. It snuck up on me hard this year. And I don't really have any idea why. It's the first Saturday of May every time. But I think May snuck up on me.
It did.
Yeah. I didn't know what was going on.
But what I mean is, have we gotten into the episode? Welcome, everyone.
Oh, hey.
Designer Cornbread, episode 134?
No.
Five?
Yes.
135.
I'm sorry,
look,
we forgot.
I'm in the ballpark. You know.
Yeah.
I've got my tens column right.
You were in the ballpark. You just hadn't bought your ticket. You didn't know what was going on. I'm sorry. Yeah. 135 designer cornbread.
35.
Here you are. Okay. Back to us.
It was the Kentucky Derby. I love the Kentucky Derby. I love everything about it.
I know. It's bucket list. That. We're going. We're going to go.
I want you to know that I sat there and I watched the Kentucky Derby in my hat and my pajamas.
Oh, no. That feels right. That feels exactly right. I did not wear a hat. But
I went and got my hat. I just thought I have to put my hat on for the Derby.
Right. You wanted to do it, and that's fine.
I did. Yes. Absolutely. So I put my hat on.
Okay.
And
I had been there with you, I would have put that other hat. I don't have a hat like that right now. So, but I would have worn the hat with
you. Well, normally my friend Paige has a Kentucky Derby party every year, and which is great fun. And so I have a lot of Derby hats. But her niece graduated. And so she had all the graduation fanfare.
I had a feeling. Saturday. I thought maybe because I wondered about that. And then I thought, oh, maybe she's got some graduations going on.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that. So I was supposed to come to St. Louis this weekend, or I was going to come to St. Louis.
She was, y'all. I tried.
I know.
I tried. She tried too.
I remembered a girl asked us if we would do this dinner party thing. They were, I don't know, a little place downtown was going to do it. And they're trying to get something off the ground and all this.
Okay. Yeah.
And so you had to have a certain number of people to do this. Well, I told her a long time ago, we would do this, and kind of forgot about it. And I was like, oh, I'm going to St. Louis. And then I remembered. And then she sent me a text and said, we may not have enough people to pull this off. Well, then I knew I couldn't cancel.
Right.
But I was waiting to see.
You were like, maybe it might not
maybe
happen.
It may not make.
Yeah.
And then they did get enough people to make it.
Oh, well,
so
that's
I was like,
good.
Okay,
I mean,
that's off. Yeah.
That's good. I'm happy for them.
I know. But then at about 2 that afternoon or so.
No, stop it right now.
Yeah. I got
did
the
they
call.
Cancel?
Yes. The air conditioning went out in the building.
Oh, I feel terrible for them.
Yeah.
And I feel now I feel bad for myself and bad
myself.
For you, and I feel bad.
I know. Dadgummit. You know, you try to do the right thing.
You do, and you tried hard. You were like, okay, I can do this. Oh, wait, no, I can't. Oh, wait, maybe I can.
No.
Oh, no.
I gave my word.
Yes, you were having integrity.
So.
Oh, anyway, my goodness. Well,
so that's the thing. Okay, but back to the Kentucky Derby. Back to the Derby. I was pulling for American Promise is who
same,
I was pulling
same.
For.
Same. And would you like to share? I have a reason why I picked American Promise. Do
is
you
it
have
the
a
trainer?
Reason?
I do. The trainer.
Oh, he was cute as a bug. He was an old fella.
Old fella. But I thought, you know, he's got enough experience under his belt. And you looked at, you know, the track was extremely sloppy.
So I hate it when it's sloppy. Yeah. I'm always a nervous wreck because... because you just know one slip and those horses and the jockeys and it could just be a
it
whole
could just
thing
go really
and makes
really
me
wrong.
So nervous. Yep.
But the trainer was he's a legend. He's a legend in the racing world.
Was he 90
world.
Something or was he upper 80s?
I think he was upper 80s.
And he had a little cowboy hat on.
Yes. Yeah. And they asked him, you know, about retiring. And he said, I'm going to be doing this as long as I can sit up straight in the saddle.
Oh.
And he's just precious. So I went, okay. And I watched the horse and I thought, okay, he could do it. I mean, he
was like fifth. He was like kind of ranked. Yeah. He wasn't like way down at the.
So I will tell you that up front, my first pick was Sovereignty.
That was mine too, as I told
I looked down, I started looking
you're
at
racist,
owners and
so
stuff.
I think you were a bad person.
I went, dadgummit, he's not owned. You know,
I don't love
the Kentucky Derby.
I don't love the foreign owned. I know.
I don't like the foreign
like Japan
owned.
Japan had two horses, and I'm always
Derby. This is Kentucky Derby. You know, so I changed my mind at the last minute.
I did the exact same thing. I was like,
yeah.
Ooh, I was like, American promise. And then I was like, wait, sovereignty. Wait, and something yeah. about it just, I was like, ooh, it was yep, real good. Yep. And then I was like, no, I'm going to pick American promise.
I did the same
thing. Because here's my reason. You were all sweet. My reason was because journalism was picked as the favorite. And I'm like, journalism is dead right now.
Yes.
So I want American promise to kick journalism's butt.
But you know who kicked journalism's butt? Is sovereignty.
Sovereignty, which
sovereignty.
That works too. Yeah. That works too. Now, and journalism was a beautiful.
He was a beautiful horse.
Beautiful horse.
But it's I never picked the first one. I never picked the favored.
No, if I had actually picked, no, I never do either. No, because they rarely win.
Yeah.
They rarely win. Yeah.
Ron,
so I was bummed.
Was it Mystic Dan? Was Mystic
that
Dan the one
year.
That was,
mm-hmm.
was he last year? Who was the
I believe
one?
So.
Strike It Rich. It was Strike It Rich several years ago.
Uh-huh.
He was like going to be last. I mean, he was at the bottom. And this is when we were in Arkansas at that big derby
big
party
fancy
thing.
Party.
And they had a big, you know, all these buckets that you bet on. And mm-hmm, Strike mm-hmm. It Rich was, you know, had nothing. There was nothing in it. And Ron said, I'm going to go with Strike It Rich. And he never went over there and put his ticket.
Oh.
And Strike It Rich. And Strike It Rich was, I mean, he was the last pick of the whole thing. Ron would have walked away with the entire kitty.
I'm surprised you let him ride home in the car with you.
I know it.
I'm surprised you let him.
I know. So, but I do. I love all the hats
fun.
And the fanfare and the bugle. I love the bugle.
I know. I do too.
I
it just sounds
it.
So, it's just so much tradition and the horses are so wonderful and the silks. And I will say, you know, it always is so funny to me. I know, obviously it's a business, you know, it's a big, a big business and the jockeys are athletes and kind of, you know, they're just hired and pay, you know, how that whole system works is really fascinating, but it always is so crazy to me when they switch jockeys. Cause I remember that we're saying one of them that week, switch to a totally new jockey.
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, you know, it's fine. And I think, and at first I thought, has he ever even sat on that horse? But he said he took him for a couple of runs, you know, during the week. But I'm like,
yeah, I mean, to me, it's like build that relationship kind of, you know?
And I know this is where I'm like, these are professionals.
Yeah, I know.
Like these jockeys, they are professionals. The trainer is there to get them up to speed. You know, this is what you do this and this and, you know, that they're the coach. They're to get them totally up to speed on how the horse does and what the horse likes. And but it just blows my mind because he was like, yeah, you know, it'll be so good. And I'm like, you're racing in the biggest race in horse racing on a brand new horse. It'd be like to me, it's almost like only different because there's a more deeper kind of connection, I think that, but it's almost like if a race car driver just like, oh, let me just drive a new car.
Drive a new car, yeah.
You know, like in the Indy 500 or in some speed, but you know, like, let me just hop in there. And it's like, no, they drive their car. They know their car. But I know that's not how jockey, they're for hire for whatever horses there are, but it blows my mind.
Yeah.
I would be throwing up all over everything.
Oh,
but yes, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun to watch. So enjoyable. Congratulations to Sovereignty and all of them. And
it always, fun. And I always listen to John Michael Montgomery's Run for the Roses.
Oh, it was Dan Fogelberg.
You know that song? Was, oh yeah, it was
That's
Dan.
Fogelberg.
It was Dan Fogelberg.
I wish they would.
Where I got John Michael Montgomery.
I don't know either.
Yeah, it is Fogelberg.
I wonder if they play it there. You know, I know how they do. They sing the old Kentucky Home and all that. But I thought, man, during the pre-warming up, I thought, man, surely they're playing Run for the Roses, like, over the speaker.
Yes.
But I never hear it. So I don't know that they do. But I think of that song, too. So
I do. I love it. Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Mm. It's a good one.
Who sings it? But no.
Whoever sings it. I love it. It's my favorite, but I don't know who sings it. That's okay. This is where we are, people. This is where we are. Yo,
but what is so crazy is like Dan Fogelberg's one of my favorite all-time singers. And I'm sitting here going, John Michael Montgomery.
You just lost your mind. You just lost your mind. Oh, it happens. Yes. Now, let's see. I'm going over. I'm crossing off Kentucky Derby because that was on my list, too.
Okay.
I don't have too much to you know, I don't have too much report on either, except we had Roger's funeral on last Tuesday. Roger VB. And so that was a really beautiful service. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it yet, but, and, you know, I think it's going to be on YouTube or, you know what, you asked me to send the link.
It is. Well, no, Linda sent me the link and, no, I have not had a chance to sit down and watch it yet.
I know you will when you get a minute, but it was just a good, I won't say much more than just, it was a beautiful service. You know, just what you hope it would be, you know, for someone that you love or for yourself, if you got, you know, like that's where your grandkids are up there talking and reading scripture and saying things, and then your sons, and then, you know, it just was beautifully done, beautifully done. And then afterwards, the visitation was afterwards. So it was kind of nice because then we just got to visit with people we hadn't seen in a while from all walks of life, old church people and you know, the Fries, Kelly and Tracy were there, and Billy and Ted, and I can't remember who all else, but just, it was a really nice just time for people to visit and see Linda and see John and give everyone hugs. I took some crazy pictures. I need to send you. We got a couple of group pictures. Did I send them to you?
You sent some pictures to me.
Okay, I was like, I don't remember what I sent.
It just was, and that was one thing I talked to Boogie afterwards, and I was telling you, I was remarking about the pictures and how just the joy that was there. I mean, you're at your dad's funeral, but just the evident joy that was there and the love that was there. And there's always such a strong contrast when you go to funerals of people who know the Lord and those who don't. And it's just such a, contrast.
Yeah. And that was well put. It was a joyful time after. We really just enjoyed, and they had a little reception and cookies and, you know, some water, stuff to drink. And we just all wandered around and visited and sat, and we took Susan, Tim's mama. And so she got to, you know, see some people, or they got to see her and looked at pictures, you know. So it was just a sweet, again, it's a way of honoring someone, you know, by being together. And that's the legacy of the relationships.
It is. And remembering the life. I mean, the life that you had with them, you know, I mean, that's just the whole, anyway, and such special memories.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. So just wanted to fill in on that. If I don't get some sun soon, there's going to be an issue I'm going to be the issue.
Well, come on down.
I'm coming.
Okay. I do have something because I was listening to one of our old podcasts from a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, goodness.
And we left a cliffhanger.
Oh.
We were talking about prom, which we're still kind of in prom season. And we said, and next week we will tell you what whammy means. And we never went back the meaning of the whammy.
I forgot. Okay, I'd let you can. Why don't you? I know we've told it on here before, but just as an annual PSA,
it's a public service announcement here.
Yes, the origin of the whammy,
and that will lead me into another story. Actually,
oh good. Oh, it's story time with
it's
Jody.
It's not a good story, but it's one that parents need to be aware of. So
I don't like sad stories.
No. So whammy. Holly and I were in Branson, and we were watching all the prom people. Hey, you are frozen on me. I don't know if I'm frozen.
No, you're not.
Okay.
You're okay. Good. Am I back?
No, you your face is frozen, Miss Botox. I can hear you just fine.
My face is frozen.
Anyway, so we're in Branson and we are at this restaurant, and it was evidently prom night because all of these kids were coming in their tuxes and their beautiful gowns. And some were a little more classy than others. And Holly and I might have had a few remarks to say. And not to them.
No.
We did that behind their backs.
Wait. this is not getting any better. You guys, listen, we were on a girls' weekend. This was when we first started going to Branson together after our kids were grown up enough that we felt like, you know, we could get away for a weekend after having not done that while they were little. We went years without really seen
that's
each other.
Exactly so right. Yes.
I'll just preface it with saying we might have been out of our minds.
We might have been a little out of it. And some of you may not know, but when Ollie and I are together, we have superpowers.
Hmm.
And like sometimes when we are the golden raisin and the brown prune, mm-hmm. we have
those are
the
our
super,
superhero. Those are our superhero yes. names.
We have a superhero Joni, power.
Joni is the golden raisin and I'm the brown prune. Mm-hmm.
And we can cause bad drivers to have diarrhea on the spot.
That's our power is to cause explosive diarrhea, uncontrollable. Yeah. That's our power.
We had a bad driver on a motorcycle and we decided that would not be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So because we were behind
we
him.
Right. Carry on.
But so, so we decided that we did have the superpower to save America and to perhaps control some of the population that night.
Just to help people out. In case things mm-hmm. happened that maybe wouldn't be good to happen on
prom night. Yes.
Right. And so that's all we don't. Yeah.
So when a couple would walk past us, we would immediately go whammy,
whammy.
We put the whammy on them.
We do the whammy.
Which would cause impotence for the rest of the night.
Okay. Oh, well.
Well, that's a nice way to put it.
That is what it was.
Not everybody,
it wasn't the diarrhea that evolved later.
It was, no. That's the driving one. The whammy causes that.
I forgot.
So we put the whammy on a lot of couples.
Yeah, I'm so, and prevented maybe not a good story. We did, though. We did. Just in case things.
That's right.
It was
prom night. We didn't want things to get out of control.
The old parents warning, don't subtract from the population. Don't add to the population.
That's right.
Just have a good time.
That's right. So we did our part.
We did a good service.
We did a good service. Mm-hmm. We did.
I think we did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Okay, parents, this is a little sensitive topic. So I'm just going to put that out there.
For little ears. Yeah. Sarah, go get you something else to do.
But I had something that happened at school that I had to go talk to the counselor about that I was concerned about a student. And I won't go into details on that. But anyway, everything was okay with the student. But the mental health counselor sat there and told me that the girls are watching. There is a TikTok challenge going around called Pregnancy Roulette. And they are all trying to get pregnant. And they take their pregnancy test and they put them in a bucket and mix them all up and draw them all out. And you don't know whose is whose.
Okay.
So they are disappointed when it comes out negative.
Well, how do they know it's not theirs?
Right. And then they have
to
go retest. Yeah.
What's
right.
the point? I don't understand it.
Right now, this is a game to them.
Okay.
They have no idea about any of it, mm-hmm. except that they are trying to get pregnant. And right now, I have about 6 girls in my classes that are pregnant.
That's high.
That's high.
That feels
and
very
so
high.
It is very high. And so I'm telling you, these games that are going on TikTok, y'all, their brains are not developed. And the teenagers are looking at all of this like it's a game, not like
I understand
we're bringing
that. I understand
a life
that.
In.
But I know this is a deeper issue because just because you see something on a TikTok or on whatever, what is the mental situation that they think that that's okay?
Yeah, they don't have the maturity there. They have been living in this artificial world for so long. They have absolutely no idea.
Well, we got different problems than the TikTok. We got different problems.
Yes.
I mean, that's part, but I'm saying if you're just watching stuff and going, oh, okay,
but
let's
that's
do
where
it.
We are. And that's where these phones are so dangerous. That, I mean, when I tell you we are in a mental health crisis over it, we are in a mental health crisis. Y'all, they are, it is not a good thing.
That is a very good reminder for, you know, for you to, again, say to parents, just to make sure you're talking, make sure you're open and talking and checking out what's on the things that they're watching. If they're hiding it from you, and the thing is too, if you get too, this is the balance that parents, we have to tread, and it's tough. You get too restrictive and too tight, they just hide it. They go underground.
They hide it, so, and they rebel against it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, and you won't know, and you'll be like, oh, because if it's too tight of a, you know, too restrictive or shame, you know, or anything like that, then they will just take it underground. You'll never know.
Yeah.
So it's better to kind of be like, hey, you know, did you see this?
But you've got to, and here's what I'm going to say. You've got to have some sort of control over your kids' phones, but don't pick your battles.
Right.
Don't make a huge thing over everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very dangerous. It's a dangerous, dangerous world out there.
Yeah, I think that's when you said, just don't, you know, you're going to see some stuff that, you know, maybe isn't up your cup, you know, a little crude or a little something, and you can kind of, you know, but pick, not that you shouldn't say something about that. I'm not trying to be like, don't say anything, but you know, your example is your example, and you're going to, but like, if you freak out about everything, then they won't show you stuff.
They're going underground. Yeah. That's exactly
so,
right.
You know, but man, I'm glad
it's crazy. Anyway.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, and then on a lighter note, on Saturday, it rained here all day long. And I decided to organize my eyeshadows and not do any work that needed to that I could have gotten done. But it was very important. I mean, I went through them all. I have too many. I have way too many. I've got a bunch of singles. I've taken them up and I reorganized them into palettes and I did them into things, and I cleaned them, and I did all my stuff, and I just sat there at my vanity watching Idaho 4 murder YouTube video stuff and doing my eyeshadows. So it was a great day. It's a great day. Like I said, if I don't get some sun, I'm going to be the issue.
Come on down.
The issue, and
I've got sunshine. I've got sunshine. Pool's got your name written all over it.
It's cold. It's cold here today.
And I don't know if you saw this. Okay, Tracy, bring Sarah back into this conversation now. So I don't know if you saw this from Frody that she sent.
I sure did.
Did you see the little talent show that Sarah was in?
I did.
So little Sarah, who listens to us, was in a talent show. I don't know if it was her church or her school or something, but she sang Jesus Loves Me and she signed it and it was precious. I'm going to see if I can play it a little bit on here. I don't know how it'll come through, but
let's see if it will.
I don't know if I can. Oh, listen to the birds. It had to be like an open air little thing. Can you hear that?
We're on the recording.
Yes. Oh, do you think it was on the recording?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones do Him belong. They are
my. Is that not precious, Sarah?
It is precious. I watched the whole thing.
I did too. That was just a little snippet of it.
Such a good job.
Oh, Sarah, you did such a good job.
Yes, and your signing and everything was so good. So that was, I did it. I appreciated that little sharing of that. Made me so happy.
I know it.
That was
good.
Outstanding. The other, let's see. So Tim and Thatcher and Hudson are in New York. They're in the Big Apple. They took off for a boys' weekend up in New York, and they are all staying at Thatcher's apartment. let me explain that sleeping situation. So Thatcher is so sweet. So he lives in this little walk-up in Brooklyn, and it is one room, a small-ish room. Well, you walk in, there's a little hallway, and there is a bathroom. And then you're kind of in the one room, not super big. And then you can go on through, and there is a separate kitchen, which is a big deal. Like, that the kitchen wasn't in the same room was already, like, he was feeling
real good, yeah.
And his desk is in there, so it's his kitchen and his office.
Okay, okay.
So he could be at his desk and then, like, swirl around and, like, cook.
That's anyway. Hilarious, yeah.
So they worked out the sleeping. So Tim got the bed, the double bed. There's just a double bed. So they're like, no one's sleeping with, they're like, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Because they're all ginormous or tall or whatever. So Tim got the bed, Thatcher's bed, and Thatcher took the futon couch just as a couch, you know, snuggled up there. And Hudson is on a twin air mattress on the floor of the kitchen, just
I was going to say he's got to be in the kitchen somewhere.
He's in the kitchen. That's
or the bathroom.
I was like, maybe in the tub, maybe make him a little.
Yes.
Oh. So Thatcher had an air mattress, and it literally just fits, like, in the kitchen. Like, you can't walk in there. Which is at least, like, he's not blocking, like, anyone's way to the bathroom. Like, he's on the far end so that they can still. But it's just all beds.
Yes.
It's just all sleeping men. Just all covering the surfaces. So,
my goodness.
But you know what? They're having the best time. And that's the way, you know, because to say, you know, to spend $350 a night to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, it's fine. But, like, man, that it's not fine. But, I mean, it is what it is. But, like, that's a chunk out of your budget to do stuff. You know, you'd rather do stuff.
Yeah. That's Ron and I are going to Chattanooga on the 18th. Well, 17th, 18th. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking for hotels, and even, you know,
dude, the hotels there have gone up.
The hotel, and it's not just, you know, the Reed House was expensive,
right? But you expect it to
now, but you expect it to be. But every hotel I've looked at down to in that area was that expensive. And I'm looking at him going, you're not the Reed House.
I know. I'm like, I better have people dressed in flapper outfits in
that's
a haunted
exactly
room
right.
Before I pay that
before
price.
Before I pay that. I know. And anyway, but I think we're looking at the Hickson area now.
Oh, okay.
But it's still just because Caleb is joining the church on the 18th.
Oh, how
so we're
nice.
Going out for that.
Oh, that'll
and
be
that's,
fun.
You know, Red Bank, all that is around the Hickson kind of area. So
is that the weekend I was going to come see you?
I don't know. You never gave
me
a date.
Look at me, like, cancel your plans for your son.
You kept saying maybe
is,
here, maybe here.
That's
are you really coming?
Gonna, no, you
go to Chattanooga.
No. Okay,
and
we
then
can
you
talk
can
about
come
this
here.
Offline. Ain't nobody need to hear us talk about our calendars. I didn't tell you officially, so it's fair. And that's a good excuse. So I can come the next weekend.
Okay.
No. Oh, maybe. Okay. We're going to talk about that offline because no one needs to worry about us. But yeah, your point. So you're going to, Hickson, it's a little less expensive. And did you look at the Moxie? Did you look at that place we stayed?
Yeah, it was about, I mean, it wasn't as, but it was, it was still in the ballpark there.
I know. It blows my mind. And I know it's like one of these things, almost like when, I remember when, you know, you first become a real adult and you're getting married or whatever. And of course you take a lot of hand-me-down furniture. I mean, we give it to us, but you know, when you do start buying furniture and the sticker shock, I still am not over it. Like I, you know, it's 30 years later and I'm still like, why is a chair, a dining room chair that's just made out of wood, $150, $200. Why?
Yeah. And you have to have
understand.
Eight of them.
And you have to have 6 to 8 of them. I can't understand it. Or like one, you know, like a, just kind of an upholstered wingback kind of thing. And you're like $1,500. You're like, what are you people putting in there? Is there, are you, am I a mule for your drugs? What's happening right now? Cause it still blows my mind. So hotels are another, we would go to, North Carolina, Black Mountain, Asheville area to take our kids to camp for, we were calculating it the other day, Avery asked, and because Thatcher's first year was, he was 11. So we calculated it back. So he's 20, he's going to be 27. And then this is our first year, really, that no one's gone, except 2020, yeah. which, you know. So what is right. that? Is that like a 13 year? Math on somebody.
Close anyway, to 15 years.
I think it's like 15 years we've been yeah. making this trip. So, but anyway, in the early days, we would all go together. The husbands would come and you know, a lot of times, and we would do all that. And you remember when
in at Kodiak. Some point,
well, I was just saying at some okay. point, a few years in, I distinctly remember, because we would look for hotels, and y'all, we were yeah. looking, and this is, like you said, maybe 15 years ago, which is a while. I mean, we were hoping to find $89, $90, yes. $95
yeah.
a night. Mm-hmm. You know, not in the nice, we weren't looking for anything ritzy or nice.
No, like we just needed somewhere to spend the night.
We had a bunch yeah. of kids. We, you know, maybe if it had a pool, you know, they could jump in. But we certainly weren't... you know, looking, we were kind of looking at like, you know, your little Comfort Inn or your whatever. And do you remember when we stayed at a Spring Hills suite and it was so nice. And it was 120.
Uh-huh.
And I remember on that trip, and again, it's budget, it's all the things, but I remember shortly after that going, oh, I'm gonna think we're $120 hotel people.
We're $120 people.
We're done with the 95, 100. It's worth an extra 20 to 30 bucks.
Here, this is where it changed, Holly. and I know you're gonna remember this. The guys stopped. They got this hotel in Kodiak. And I've forgotten what it was, but it was just this roadside, maybe super. I won't say anything.
What guys?
Our husbands, Tim and Ron.
Oh, they reserved it? We let them reserve stuff?
I don't know. They just they got something and they pulled in. Oh. And do you remember there was in the parking lot, there was the outline of the body, the crime scene body there. Do you remember that? And we stayed.
I think I blocked it from my mind.
After that is when we quickly decided
that we were $120
hotel.
We were done. Like, this is not.
Never forget, because we're pulling up to this hotel thinking, I don't know about this, guys.
Yeah,
it'll be fine. It's fine. It's fine. And we went, you know, it's one of these, like, you drive around yes. to the, you check in.
A motel.
Drive around. Yes. And when we got to the back part or something, there's this outline of the body.
Joni, how did I not remember? How have I just blocked that? Are you lying to me? Or is this a tall tale?
I will never forget that. After that, I told Rajan, never again. We will spend the extra money.
Seriously. I just remember for some reason, yes, the Spring Hill Suites were like, yes. and they still mm-hmm. are to this day. Like, those are yeah. really a nice, I like those hotels. Now it's probably $295.
Yes. Yeah.
$250, you know, mm-hmm. and you're like,
and now
we are so proud. Yes, we're $120
people.
Now that's like the super eight.
Yeah, we would split it. We would split a room depending on how many kids we had.
If we were with the husbands, we wouldn't. We would get separate. But man, yeah. After that, when you and I would go, we'd have six kids.
Yes,
you and me crammed up in some room because we were like, we're $120 people.
We're $120 people.
But we're gonna all squeeze in this room.
Oh, goodness.
Good times.
Yes. Yeah. I can't believe you don't remember the outline of the body on concrete.
I vaguely do, but like I can't picture it. So either yeah. I didn't actually uh-huh. see it or like you guys told me about
no,
it.
No, you saw it. No,
oh,
you
boy. Saw it. Oh, boy.
Oh, goodness. Yep.
Yep. So that is to say that, yeah. It's gone. They've gone. But see, my brain, that's the thing though. My brain is stuck at 120 being a decent, a nice room, a nice that's place right. to stay at 120, 150.
Yes.
Like 150 was like, you rich.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were not cotton at that point.
We really were. And so that's what's still stuck in my head. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you look at all these things and you're like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's just no. And it's, and you go, and here's the thing. I understand though. I mean, it's increased with everything because as
right.
the gas prices and prices of stuff and prices of paying stuff, but I'm sleeping.
I know. And here's the deal. I mean, I even look at, and I love the retail, but by the time, if I stay two nights, I'm looking at $700. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, I can't pay $1,000. I mean, I just cannot bring myself.
No, and it's wonderful. Pay. And it's no, and it, that's why if we split it at least, like, you know, yeah, if it's you and me yeah. and we're splitting a room or, you know, but like yeah. it.
Because at that point, when you say 700, I'm already rounding to 1,000.
Yeah.
You know, I'm already there.
They are wonderful. Like,
but still.
It's enjoyable. But I'm like, we're sleeping, getting up, getting dressed, you know, showering.
Yeah.
And then you're gone.
Yeah.
And then you come back to sleep. And I don't even put out, to be honest, too, I ought to get a discount because I don't ever get maid service either.
I know.
So ain't nobody coming to my room. There's no cost to anybody while I'm in that room.
Yeah.
Except the electric. Okay, fine. Electric water. I understand. But I'm just saying, I'm just got to get on board with it. I just have to have a non-scarcity mindset. I have to have an abundance mindset. Abundance.
Well, there's abundance, and then there's $1,000.
And then there's mama could have, you know,
then there's like
rented a cabin.
My house mortgage.
Rented a cabin for the weekend.
Month for, yeah. Yeah.
You know? I know. You guys, we're just fuddy-duddies. We're sorry. We're not sorry. Okay. Other than that, I'm also just trying to get, I'm trying to get motivated to do something in my yard. Now it's been raining, like it's torrential
yes.
and all that,
yeah.
but we went to the botanical garden with, we took Tim's mom. I told you that, didn't I?
No.
To the botanical garden for her birthday.
Oh, okay.
Not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before. And, anyway, and every time I go, of course, there's certain sections that are like my favorite style of garden. The English woodland garden is my favorite, and then the hosta beds, you know. So I just want my whole yard to be that, of course. And so I go and I get all inspired, and I even took notes. I mean, I have in my head, but I was like, let me write my phone when I see plant that I really like, just so I remember. So I get all inspired, and then I come home and I'm like, oh. So when you're saying, and here's the thing too, I'm like, plants are expensive. I can't spend the money on that. Did I just buy a $14 I didn't buy a $14 eyeshadow. Mm-hmm. Did I look at that on the internet and go, yeah, I might need that one. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not shaming anyone because I've done it. But I'm like, or that's a plant. So yeah, that's my thing. I'm like, oh, there's, and I'm like, no, like you said, that's $700 at the Reed. At the hotel,
yeah, that could be my whole backyard for a little bit. Yeah,
a good, you know, not that they're cheap either, but anyway, I digress. My point is, we've never done a ton. Our yard is really pretty, like our backyard is pretty. It's got, you know, trees all kind of around it, and so it kind of, you know, looks okay. But there's like plantings. I'm like, we could add plants. We've never done really much of any permanent planting. I've done pots and ferns and, you know, things like that. But I was like, so I'm trying to get inspired to do that.
Mine just the dog pees on them and they die. I'm frustrated with the whole, you know.
She's always out there. We're out there. She's just yelling at Dingo, quit peeing on my plants. Does Shadow do it or was it just Dingo?
Shadow does some, not okay. like Dingo. Dingo, you put
Dingo
a new
really went after it.
Flowers. Oh, I got to pee on that.
Those are pretty.
Yeah.
You're like Dingo.
So
hang on. Let me pause the recording for a second. Hang on. Oh, can I do it? No, you're good. Zoom. Oh, look at me. Look, know how to use the things.
You are so techno, Holly.
Anyway, what were you saying? I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you? We totally lost our train of thought. We got interrupted. We're back though. It's fine.
Plants in the backyard.
Plants.
That's
you were
what
talking about.
About
the dog.
I
we were
did.
Talking about the important
so,
topic.
Yeah,
of the
so
dogs
one of
peeing
the little preschools here sells plants, and so I bought, you know, a bunch of plants from them. And
oh, good.
Now I've got to figure out, you know, where to put them, what
okay.
to do, and all that.
Are they perennials or are they annual? Do they
I
do
have
annuals or
gardenias and lantana?
Ooh.
And what else did I get? Some of the little tribal, some are annuals and some are perennials.
Okay,
but.
Yeah, nice.
So I bought those for my little twerkies at
that's nice
church.
That's nice.
And yeah,
I just so I gotta, haven't been in the mood to yard has been. We've done things over the, but I'm just I mean, well even the past couple of year I'm just like, mm-hmm. and I don't know I've let it.
It has slip. Rained so much here. I mean, it's just. I mean, you've got like such a small window of, okay, can we get the yard mowed? And if you can't do it in that window, I mean, you're going to have like my backyard. We did better with the front, just trying to keep
because
it
that's the one you do first because you're like, that's what people see.
You know, you're in between storms, just running out trying to get something mowed.
It's true. Our neighbor next door was out mowing yesterday. Thank goodness, because our front yard with our neighbors are just connected, so it just looks like one lawn. So we typically just when we mow, he just mows the whole front, and when they mow, they just mow the whole front because it's silly to be like, let me make a line, you know. So it's it's really nice. But and Tim got out there and got it mowed before the one other rain, and now Lawton was out there mowing, and I'm like, thank goodness, because if it keeps going,
And you know what's so funny to me, and this was my devotion, you know how you have verses that you have known your entire life. You can quote them. It's been insane. I mean, just the whole time. And then something strikes you and it's just like, wow. But that was, I had just been reading that basically if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow we're thrown onto the fire, will he not so much more care for your needs? That's a little paraphrase there. Mm-hmm. And then I just thought, you know, your needs, your physical, God knows your physical needs, your emotional needs, and your spiritual needs. And he's all of that. And as I'm going, it was so funny because I'm going through that. And that's a really, I'm pondering that, you know, of he already knows my needs and he does take care of those weeds, the grass and the flowers and he feeds them, he waters them. Mm-hmm. How much more is he going to take care of me on every level? And about that time, as I'm going through this, Ron had been out mowing and he said, hey, come look at this. And I said, all right. And he pointed to, you know, the fire pit that we've got out there where he had been dumping all the, you know, the grass. He said, look how much grass I mowed up. And sure enough, here are all those grass clippings, everything in the fire, just ready. And I was like, wow, okay. That's, you know, it was just such a perfect timing and how all that flowed together. But
good. That's good. And it needs constant tending. I'll tell you that much. Both our hearts and our yards.
That's right. Yeah. In between the storms. Yeah.
It's true. It was a situation. So I'm trying to get inspired, y'all. I'm trying to figure out, and part of my problem, I won't say, I'm trying not to be, it's a problem. Part of my challenge is that and especially because it is money and work, right? It's work and effort, which, you know, time and effort. I get like, maybe afraid. Like, I want to make sure I do it right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I get like, what design, and for me, like, what design, where do I want, how do I want to landscape it? And I'm like, well, this is kind of my one shot, you know, I'm going to spend money, you know, gradually. Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and like all of a sudden next week, you know, do the whole yard. But so that gets in my head. I get up in my head and I'm like, and then I get paralyzed because I'm like, oh, well, you know, and I make sure I use the resources the best. I want to make sure I, you know, which is, I guess, kind of a form of just like afraid of making a mistake, you know, it's a little different than that. Cause it's like, I just want to do it the best way.
I have made a mistake in my front bed and I've got to figure out what I'm going to do about it. But, well, I planted, and it wouldn't be if it would grow, but I've got a rhododendron there at the corner. Uh-huh. And if it would just grow on up, it's fine. But right now it's not growing on up yet. Oh, mm-hmm. And then I planted some hostas and some of the elephant ears things. And the elephant ears are like really, really growing really bad. And there's my rhododendron behind it that's just dwarfed.
Oh.
So it'll be fine when it grows, but it's not... Right.
Well, you can dig up the elephant ears. They just dig up and put them somewhere else. That's easy.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You can stick those somewhere else. So, yeah. So that's my quandary. I'm trying to just really get, I'm trying not to overwhelm myself with it, but I'm also like, too, this is ridiculous. I want to know the master plan of the whole yard.
Yeah. Right.
Because I'm a daughter of an architect. He does master plan. Do you understand? Like, he wouldn't just plop an area, like maybe, but like, you know, it's like, especially in our yard, our backyard, you can kind of see the whole, you know what I mean? It's not like there's, here's an area and here's an area. I mean, kind of, but it's sort of, and so I'm like, what's the whole master plan? How do I want it to be? And then I'll be happy to work towards that, but I can't get the master plan. So then I just sit there and, and don't do
I can spend $1 million in my backyard and it not be done though.
I don't know. I mean, give me $1 million. I could do your yard. Your
can
yard
you
would
do
be,
my yard.
Your yard would be amazing. So that's that. You know, y'all understand. That's how it works. So,
okay. Are you ready for my rest? No, I think
I'm ready. I'm really anxious. So, and happy Cinco de Mayo. Oh,
Cinco
it's
de Mayo.
Thursday when people. Yeah.
Well, okay. Today, though, as we are recording, is Cinco de Mayo, and we did make tacos in class today all day long. And anyway. But Mother's Day, when this drops, Mother's Day is coming up. And so I just thought, you know, what do you cook for your mom? They do all things. And it's so hard, like for me, because I've got my mom to cook for.
When you're the mom, but you have a mom.
And you have a mom.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I also have three boys who have to eat. You know, I mean, it's not like.
Cause they don't have to eat.
My mom and I would be like, yeah, just give us a little chicken salad.
I was going to say, we'll make for you and your mom and be like, okay, boys.
Boys, go wherever. Anyway.
You do what you want to do.
But I always think a little lighter on Mother's Day.
Yes.
Just those lighter
a
things.
A luncheon. Yes.
But I did come up with something in between here, and it is a chicken piccata.
Oh.
So, and I love a good chicken piccata.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so
all right, give it to
us. You will need 4 boneless, skinless chicken breast, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 teaspoon of pepper. You may need a little more to taste there. And then 1/3 cup of all-purpose flour, 2 tablespoons of butter. You're going to divide that up though.
Okay.
And same thing, 4 tablespoons of olive oil. That's going to get divided up to 3/4 cup of white wine, 1/2 cup of chicken broth, 3 tablespoons of lemon juice, 1/2 cup of heavy cream, 1 tablespoon of fresh parsley, 2 tablespoons of capers, and then 8 ounces of angel hair pasta.
Ooh, I love angel hair pasta.
Let me say this. If you're using the capers, I would get the kind that's stored like in a liquid brine, just because that will add a nice little tang to your,
I got you.
To your chicken piccata there.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. Just make sure you drain it beforehand.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So go ahead. The first thing I would do is just get your water simmering or boiling for your angel hair. Your angel hair won't take long to cook. It's going to take you longer to bring that water to a boil. Always make sure with pasta that you put it in boiling water. Don't put it in cold water. You got to put it in boiling. Okay. So chicken.
Salt or no salt in the water? Salter, are you a salt in the pasta?
I don't know. I don't put salt in there.
I usually forget, but then sometimes I do, and I wondered if what you, okay.
Yeah, no,
okay.
I
usually forget. So, okay, carry on.
Okay, so chicken breast, y'all, I mean, if you've got a good butcher, if you've got a good place that has those all-natural chicken breasts, that's great, but a lot of times these grocery stores are selling these, I call them Frankenstein chicken breasts.
They're ginormous.
I hate them.
They're so big.
They take forever to cook. They have no flavor. I mean, it's just, anyway. But if that's what you get, sometimes that's your only choice there.
Yeah, for sure.
Make sure, pound them out until you want to get them pretty flattened. You don't want a big, thick, cut them.
Cut them and then maybe pound them. But I usually get 2 breast servings out of that when I've had to use that.
Yes.
Now I get Butcher Box and so it's not so bad. But
Right. Mm-hmm. Sprinkle both sides of your chicken with salt and pepper and then dredge it in the flour.
Okay.
By dredge, that means coat it good. Stick it down in there and cover it in flour.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So in a large skillet, you're going to heat up 1 tablespoon of the butter and 2 tablespoons of the olive oil. Remember, we said we divided it there.
Mm.
Just over medium heat. You don't want it real high because that butter will burn. So make sure you keep it on medium heat.
Okay.
And fry 2 of your chicken breasts at a time until they're golden brown on both sides there. It'll take you 3 minutes, maybe longer. It's just going to depend on the
browning
the
outside. You're not trying to cook them on the inside all the way.
No. Yeah,
just browning them up. Okay.
No, you're going to cook them all the way.
I know, but I was just making sure people understood that.
Yeah. Okay. So a little, okay. So, and then you're going to remove the chicken to a plate, add the remaining tablespoons of butter and olive oil, and then do your other two chicken breasts. Okay. And you can just increase your heat as needed, decrease it as needed. Just watch that butter that it doesn't burn on you. Okay. So after you remove your chicken, you're going to lower that heat to medium low and pour in your wine, your chicken broth, and your lemon juice.
Oh, yeah.
Whisk the sauce and make sure you scrape up that bottom of the pan, mm-hmm. get all those good bits off.
Mm-hmm. Get the bits.
And so increase your heat to medium at that point. Allow that sauce to cook, bubble, and thicken until you reduce it by about half or two thirds. Mm-hmm. Sprinkle in a salt and pepper as it's cooking. All right. Reduce your heat to low. Pour in your heavy cream at that point. Remember, cream will scorch. So anytime you've got anything with cream or cheese or anything like that, you want that heat on low.
And whisk your sauce. Keep it moving.
Yep. Whisk your sauce together. Allow it to cook until it thickens and it'll coat. Like if you put a spoon down in it, it'll coat the spoon. It'll take it about 1 or 2 minutes. You can adjust the seasonings as you need them. Mm-hmm. And it should have a good twang to it.
Oh, good twang.
A little twang.
I love a good twang.
Good twang.
Yes, ma'am.
Going to be that lemony.
That
good.
Lemon. I know. I can uh-huh. just taste that lemon uh-huh. and the capers uh-huh. in there that are going to come.
Ooh. Yeah. If it's too strong, you can counter it with a little more broth, add a little more broth to it. But keep in mind, it's going over chicken too. So, I mean, it's not like you're just eating that.
Right. I like a good tang. I like a good tang.
So, sprinkle in some parsley and stir it. Then, right at the end, cook your pasta, but don't overcook it. You don't want it mushy. You just want it that al dente. And then place your pasta on a plate. Place your whole cooked chicken breast. You do want that chicken cooked all the way through. Beside it, and then spoon your sauce over the chicken and the pasta. And your sauce is going to be kind of strong. I mean, so you don't want to just drown it in it.
Right. You know how they serve. It's not like souping. It's like pasta, chicken, and then a good drizzle all over it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little Parmesan, little grated parm on the top. And when did you put the capers in? Did you say when to put those in?
Yeah. That was at the end.
I was too excited by the tang of the sauce. I got distracted.
Yeah, and I've actually already posted it, so it's there.
Yummy.
Yeah, you can.
So you can all get all your supplies you mm-hmm. need for, it's Thursday now when you're hearing this, so you got a day or so here to get to the store, get your supplies, and mm-hmm. surprise your mama or your wife with a little chicken piccata.
That's right.
I love that. Uh-huh. That's amazing. That's a really good one. Okay, it's also time for your top three.
Top three.
I know.
What do you?
Nothing.
She's not very joyful about it.
I'm not. I sat there and I thought, I've known it was my top three.
I know.
I'm sitting here going, I'm looking around at everything. And I'm thinking, I'm not shocked. I don't have anything new or exciting to tell anybody.
I know. But it doesn't have to be a thing. You know how we do. It can be like, you know.
Well, we're going to the nitty gritty here. I found some garden weed landscape fabric.
Oh.
So I do like that. I did like that. It's a big roll of it mm-hmm. and you just roll it out. I mean, it's so much easier than trying to put down plastic and all that stuff.
Does it work to keep the weeds?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cause so I'm about far. To do that out front and I'm worried it's not going to work. Okay.
So far, so good. Okay. We're there.
All right.
Yeah. None of this is exciting as come and get it.
No, nothing can be as exciting as 2 weeks ago. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Oh, gosh.
Let's see. Okay. And I'm going to tell you, I am new to the Karen Kingsbury books.
Okay.
And they're probably not up your alley because they're pretty Hallmarky a little bit.
Okay.
But I have been enjoying them.
Hey, listen. There could be a time and a place, and if that's what you enjoy, then that
very
is fun.
I've just never jumped on that wagon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they sound really kind of like comforting, like comfort food,
they
like
are
our
very,
mysteries, like, you know, like our little Father Brown kind of just, it's comforting.
Yes.
And it's just,
it is.
It doesn't have to be the, you know, wildest, greatest, whatever of all time, but it just kind of.
So the one I'm looking for, the one that I have really liked, and right now, especially for marriages, there is a time to dance and a time to embrace. And they just are really, really good. And some really good insights and stuff. So
is that a fiction or a nonfiction?
No, it's fiction.
That's what I thought. Yeah, okay. All of a sudden I thought maybe
it's just a story, but, she puts so much. I mean, she's applying biblical
principles,
knowledge, and principles and truths, into a fiction book on a couple, and just going the mile. I mean, this one is, I mean, they are headed for divorce, and they're heading there on the fast train.
No,
you know, and so
heading to go into the big D. I don't mean Dallas.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't believe what the judge had to tell us.
Okay. You know, so it was just really, really good. But
okay, that's nice. Okay, cool. Yeah. Is it part of a series or is this just a one-off? Like, I know she does series.
No, it's a series. Yeah, okay. But there were two in that series. And so that's that. Okay, here's my last one, Ray. It's a baseboard buddy, baseboard and molding cleaning tool. I know. And it's
that
a long
stick. I have to clean
stick.
My baseboards.
Yeah. But it's just on a long pole and you just put your cleaning thing on it and you just walk down your hallway and clean your stuff. Raise it up over your head and clean your stuff.
Oh, that's nice. That's a that's a good one, Jones. That's a good one. Because, you know, those are those jobs you're just like, give me something to help help make it easier. I'm not down on my hands and knees.
Baseboard buddy.
Baseboard buddy. Well, those were very good, very practical.
Thank you. Thank
you.
And
one was a good book, a story. So that was just perfect for this week. I love it. Okay. Well, that's all I have for this week. That's all you have. People have had enough. So we will be back next week with even more harrowing tales of wanting to landscape our yards and being stuck behind carriages.
Teaching high school. And
being stuck behind horse and buggies. It's just been a lot, you guys. A lot.
Seriously, the horse and buggy ran the red light, y'all. I don't know why that strikes me
it
as hilarious.
It is funny because it's not like it's hard to stop.
No.
Like, you're not like slamming on your brakes unless was he trotting or was he?
He was getting it, but he wasn't.
Okay,
he was
getting it.
He went galloping down Main Street or anything.
Okay.
We're not at a full canter. Went the Kentucky Derby.
Okay. Run for the roses. You got confused.
I should have yelled out the window, go, Sovereignty, go.
Go, go, run for the roses, baby. All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Until next time, bye, Pellet.
See you, Patch.
Hello.
Good morning, son. It's not morning, is it?
No.
I don't know.
Dark depths of the afternoon.
I don't know.
What day is it? It's Monday.
I don't know.
I'm talking to
it's
you.
Monday. It is Monday.
It's always a Monday.
It is a Monday all day long.
All day long. Have you had a Monday of a Monday?
It's the Mondiest Monday of all Mondays.